Among today's top stories, the big three auto companies are rolling back operations in light of the COVID-19 pandemic. Just today, Ford and GM asked those workers who can to work from home. Obviously, there are some different implications in Michigan's automotive factories. Every business, large and small, is dealing with things like consumer uncertainty, supply chain issues, not to mention their concerns for staff safety. With us for a big picture look at social distancing and what it means for Michigan's jobs is Charles Ballard, professor of economics at Michigan State University. Hi, Charlie.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
What do we know right now? Are there any economic ripples that have become immediately apparent?
Well, certainly the financial ripples are enormous. Anybody who's got a stock market portfolio, you've probably lost something like a quarter of its value in the last month. So that's a big deal. The real economy of the United States hasn't been affected as much yet, but I think the effects are going to be growing and growing and growing. First, you've got the interrupted supply chain that some producers, including auto companies, are having trouble getting parts because they have parts that were made in China. It's also true for cell phone producers and other companies. Then you've got one of the big ripple effects that we're going to see is there are all sorts of people who were counting on selling T-shirts and hot dogs at concerts and athletic events. You know, now that March Madness is canceled, all those people are going to have an interruption to their income. So the effects are getting bigger and bigger as this contagion goes on.
We are in uncharted waters here. Is there any way of surmising how long companies, large or small, can hold on over the next few weeks or months?
It really depends critically on whether we're able to get the virus under control. And we know that it is possible to contain the outbreak because the Chinese have done it. Now, the Chinese are able to exercise authoritarian measures that are hard to do in the United States, but their rate of new infections has dropped dramatically. I think we will eventually get there. The question is how long. If by a month from now the number of new confirmed cases is still skyrocketing in the United States, that's going to put a lot more pressure on businesses, especially the ones that are sensitive to the traffic flows. I think each business is unique. But right here, for instance, in East Lansing, we've got a lot of businesses that they're used to. Their business model is 9 months of the year, you've got all these additional customers in the form of the students. And then 3 months of the year, the summer is kind of slow. But you do well enough in the good months that you can weather the summer. But now we've added an additional 6 weeks when most of the students will be absent because of the suspension of face-to-face classes here at MSU, and many other universities are doing the same. Well, some of those businesses may not be able to survive. That's why I think it's imperative that we get policy help in terms of small business loans and perhaps grants and other things to try to allow businesses to weather the storm.
We've heard some very, very cautiously optimistic reporting from China, as you mentioned, and hopes that the manufacturing supply chain may be back online sooner rather than later. I mean, have we ever had a disruption at this level before for the companies in Michigan that do rely on parts and materials from Asia?
Not that I can recall. I think this is really unprecedented. And part of the thing that's unprecedented is that global supply chains are more integrated than they've ever been before. We're now seeing active discussions, lots of companies saying, hey, maybe we were a little bit too reliant on one country, namely China, for our supply. Maybe we need to diversify. But for right now, I think this is unprecedented. It's interesting how globalization has evolved, because if there had been this same outbreak in Wuhan, China, 45 years ago, we wouldn't have heard about it at all. It wouldn't have had any effect because China was essentially unconnected to the world economy.
Right.
Now they're intimately intertangled with the rest of the economy of the world and with the results that we can see.
Well, it kind of raises an interesting question about how businesses should think about threats and the long-term picture, living a hand-to-mouth existence all that time. I mean, would you foresee that we might see some real diversification of sourcing?
I think we will, at least some. I know that businesses, large and small, are thinking in ways that they have never had to think before about how they would respond to something like this. And part of it is that, as I say, the world is more interconnected. We have much more travel and tourism. We have more people mobile. 60 years ago, fewer than 1 billion people on this planet lived in urban areas. Now it's well over 4 billion live in urban areas. So there are more of us, and we're packed more tightly together. That is a formula for transmission of communicable diseases. And so, sure, we've had flu every year, and we've had colds every year. But then these other more exotic outbreaks, we've had SARS, MERS, we've had the Ebola virus. Now we have this new coronavirus. I think it's quite likely that we will see, maybe not every year, I hope not every year, but we will see contagions like this. We haven't seen the last of this because of the interconnectedness of the world economy. Thus, I think it would be wise for businesses to be thinking very seriously about diversifying their supply chains and finding ways to deal with this, because it may not be that many years before another one like this comes again.
Have some sort of disaster plan, whether that's a public health disaster or a climate-related disaster.
Absolutely.
You know, the thing that I keep thinking about is our transportation infrastructure. There are people in Michigan, in counties that do not have a reported case yet, where you can go to the store and there is no toilet paper on the shelves. And I think from a consumer perspective, the interface that a lot of people have had with this is, how do I get a bottle of Purell? You know, how do I stock up on the things my family might actually need, like ibuprofen? How do you rate Michigan's transportation infrastructure? I mean, we know when schools are closed. Do we know when carriers are starting to slow down their operations?
I don't know with precision the answer to that question, but I do know that the supply chain in Michigan is hampered badly by the fact that we have the worst roads in the nation. More broadly, I would say, this is the kind of thing that happens when there's a hurricane coming in Florida or Texas. People stock up on certain things that they think are critical. Now people are stocking up on toilet paper. We may and hand sanitizer. At some point in the future, we may have to have rationing or some kind of formal or informal ways of getting people not to do that panic buying, because now there are stores all over Michigan where certain things have just flown off the shelves and they're not there anymore. I know at the Costco, which is about less than a mile from where I live, they are saying only one carton of bottled water per customer.
How long do you think recovery from this might take?
If we can really get it under control in 3 weeks or 5 weeks, I think by summer, we should be in pretty good shape. I say that with, here's a footnote to that. That's as long as the financial system doesn't seize up. You know, the financial system is kind of like its own world, but it can spill over into the real economy. And that happened with the Great Recession 12 years ago. And the big problem was that credit markets just completely froze in the fall of 08 and the winter of 09. So far, that hasn't happened, but there are warning signs that markets are losing their liquidity. That's why the New York Federal Reserve said that yesterday and today it's going to buy $1.5 trillion, yes, that's trillion with a T, of these repurchases to try to inject liquidity into those short-term credit markets to make sure that they don't completely freeze up. Because if they do, then we will have a deep recession. I think we're likely to avoid that. If we can avoid that, and if we can get the virus under control in a a month, I think by summer a lot of things will be slowly getting back to normal, and the damage will have been minimized. But that remains to be seen.
You're not a financial advisor, but what do you say to someone who's watching the stock market bleed money right now?
Well, for most people, I say don't watch the stock market too closely because it can drive you crazy. My standard advice is invest for the long haul. Don't try to time the market, because if you panic and try to time the market, you're likely to be worse off than if you had just left it alone. Especially for young people, you should go into stocks, because yes, stocks go up and down, but over a long holding period, stocks have always done well. But as you get toward middle age, it makes sense to diversify, move more into an asset portfolio that might have more real estate, more bonds, more other things. Talk to your financial advisor. But before you talk to your financial advisor, it's a good thing to, you know, maybe put on some soft, smooth, soothing music and have a nice glass of wine, because people who are panicked don't make good decisions.
Charlie, thanks for talking to us about this.
Thanks. It's always a pleasure to be on your show.
Economics professor Charles Ballard of Michigan State University talks to us about the economy from time to time.